A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and of course joining us is the voice of the Utes, Bill Riley. Bill, how are you tonight?
What did I do to deserve the A block tonight, boys? I feel honored and privileged.
I know. We just keep moving you up.
It's what we do.
Well, hey, that in Tokyo time. Jeremiah had one spot only. That was it. You wanted the truthful answers. So there you go. No.
It's the Olympics.
This is an amazing time. We love, and you know this, anytime a story like this gets dropped in our lap in late July on, Texas OU and the rumors of them possibly going to the SEC and the SEC wooing them, it was amazing to talk about yesterday when we heard about it. It's gotten even better today as speculation has also turned over into what would the world of college football look like? And so my question is for you, what does the world of college football look like immediately after if Texas and Oklahoma do, in fact, join the SEC, which could be a few years down the road, but either way, how would that ripple through the rest of college football?
Well, I think it would effectively end the Big 12 conference. I was having this conversation today with Scott a little bit, but also with Tony Barnhart, who's like Mr. SEC football, and we both agreed the Big 12 would be dead. It wouldn't have a flagship institution. It wouldn't matter anymore. It would be dead, and then the Big 10 and the Big 10 and the Pac-12 might pick the meat off the bones and maybe grab a Kansas or an Oklahoma State or an Iowa State and add them. But I think the first move that would definitely be there is either the Big 12 would die on the vine or they would try and piece something together. But without Oklahoma and Texas in the league, they're a glorified ACC. Or not ACC, AAC. So that's the first thing. And then it starts off the chain reaction. And I'm sure the meetings are now happening. The Pac-12 conference commissioner, George Kolobkov, joked about it on Twitter. But, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are both asking themselves, all right, if the SEC goes to 16, do we want to move too? Do we want to add two schools or four schools? And what makes sense for us? So, to me, the first thing that happens is the Big 12 is effectively no longer a Power 5 conference and maybe not a conference at all. And then the second thing that happens is Big 10 and Pac-12 have to decide, you know, where do we move next? And is it worth our while to add a couple of more schools? Because adding Oklahoma and Texas adds value. Does adding Kansas and Iowa State or Texas Tech and Baylor, how much value does that really add to a Big Ten or a Pac-12?
I think it definitely
absolutely,
you know, adds value. I'm just curious, what do you see as – I think that the Pac-12 needs to absolutely expand. But what fits? What makes sense? I mean, if you want to add that value, who adds value to the Pac-12?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's who are you going after? To me, this is a little out of the box, but I would look very seriously at the University of Houston. What really matters, guys? Football and men's basketball. All the Olympic sports are window dressing. Do football and men's basketball matter? To me, the University of Houston is a Power 5 type school in a non-Power 5 conference. You would also gain the state of Texas if you were the Pac-12.
That's true.
So I don't know what the Pac-12 stance would be they don't have religious institutions. It's a very secular league. They kind of push and shove away back on it, a religion. So I don't know. BYU brings its share of issues. We've discussed that. We know that. Sunday play, other things. Baylor, TCU are both religious institutions. Right. However, Houston is not. You would get the Houston television market. You'd be deep in the heart of Texas. So then who do you find as another school? Is it Kansas? Terrible football, great basketball. Is it Nebraska? Nebraska does not like being in the Big Ten. Yeah. They don't.
They
talked about seceding a year ago. Yeah. Maybe you try to make a play and woo a Nebraska. You get a Houston and a Nebraska, then you're a 14-team league. I don't know. There's so many possibilities out there, but here at the heart of it, does the Pac-12 say we're going to stick to our guns and our principles, research institutions, no religious schools, or do they ease up and say, we've got to adapt in this new world of collegiate athletics. We just have to find programs and markets that will increase our revenue. Because if that's the case, then that opens the door for the BYUs, for the TCUs, for the Baylors as possible adds for a conference like the Pac-12.
Bill, one of the things, too, I mean, the inevitable, you know, move to expanding or at least the expansion talk of realignment talk that we've heard over the years that we sort of joked about. Well, now NIL on top of the college football playoff, expanding itself to 12 teams has now, I think, afforded these conversations to happen a lot quicker than we originally thought they would. And so here we are. Are we then now closer to those super conferences, the 16 times four that we've seen people talk about before, that top to bottom we're going to see a reinvention with the SEC, with Texas and Oklahoma kind of being that first version of a 16-team super conference?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about here, Alex. I think that's the first domino to fall. And then the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, because I think the ACC has 14 or 15 now. Anyway, they've got to decide what's the right number for us. What fits with us? You know, is it a 14-team league? Do you go as far as 16? It's easy for the SEC to do it. They're already the best league, and you're adding Texas and Oklahoma. So you're bringing real value. Again, it's got to go back to do the schools that you add bring enough value to divide that pie up four more ways or two more ways? Because at the end of the day, you're talking about revenue. When you go back to ESPN and Fox and ABC and CBS, does adding Houston and TCU and somebody else, does that move the needle? You know, is it going to add more revenue to your conference? Because if you're not adding more revenue and you're doing is dividing the pie up, and then the shares that you're getting at the end of the year, they're not as much as what you're getting now. So it's all about the money, and the SEC would be the rich getting richer. And then if you're the Big Ten and the Pac-12, you've got to say, okay, we're not getting Oklahoma.
What are we doing?
And we're not getting Oklahoma and Texas. But are there a couple of schools out there that can add to our profile that will make us even a little bit better? Not the same, but even just a little bit better.
So you think this consolidation then is about money? It's about, I don't want to say the rich getting richer, but it's about money. I wonder, is there any sense or is there any reason why a team like Utah would ever leave the Pac-12? Is there a better place for Utah, or is it just kind of, hey, we want to fly under the radar and hope we don't get plucked or hit or whatever?
Well, where I'm just trying to say, I think the Big 12 is gone. I mean, I think it's going to be effectively gone the minute the announcement is made, because you've lost your two flagship institutions. The reason the Big 12 gets $38 million a year per school ain't because of Kansas State and Texas Tech. It's because of Texas and Oklahoma. That conference is going to be half of what it was, if that. So where would Utah go? I don't think there's any better place, Scott. And I don't think there's, frankly, any other landing places. Right. I don't think the Big Ten would make that play. So, yeah, I think Utah stays put where they are and feels fortunate they are where they are.
Whatever version of a 16-team super conference out west would be, Utah would be in there. I mean, I think that's a big yes from Utah. I think they would absolutely be a part of that. Bill Riley, voice of the Utah Utes. Bill, we're going to take a flight out to L.A. and we're going to hang out, man, down at Pac-12 Media Days. And we can't wait to be there. We're excited to see you, buddy.
I'll see you guys on Tuesday. And Scott, you know what 6 weeks from today.
I'm well aware of it. I'm not even sleeping at night. I'm so excited.
Old Weber State coming. The Wildcats coming to town.
Weber State.
Old Weber State. All right, Bill, we appreciate it. You can hear Bill, of course, every day on ESPN 700. We appreciate Bill joining us on the program. We'll be right back. We got news, traffic, and weather right now on KSL News Radio. Boy, you might want to get that weather update. Stay right here with us on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.